And it was out of total anger. It wasn't something that I know by my nature that I like to do. It was out of frustration. Because you see, I had done everything right. Now I'm ruined. And it's God's fault. And Father Smith said, Charlie, which is the greatest sin, to rape or to murder? I said, well, I reckon murder is the greatest sin. And he opened the Bible. This may be a good verse for you. You may want to remember this one. It's in the Epistle of John, the Word of God, the revelation of God. This is revelation. Amen. Listen to what John says. In the third chapter, the first, the 15th verse, 1 John 3:15, and it says, anyone who hates his brother, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And murderers, as you know, do not have eternal life in them. And Father Smith looked at me and he said, Charlie, you're a murderer. You're a bigger sinner than your neighbor. He's just a rapist. You hate and it's murdered you. And it's murdered your neighbor. It's murdered your wife. It's murdered your children. You're dead. I said, wait a minute. I don't go along with that. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. I said, he is not my brother. You know, you gotta, when you want to get around God, this old think tank up here, this filthy-minded, screwed-up, messed-up, insane think tank will skirt right around God. Not my brother. Then you know what Father Smith asked me? These will be the things that I'm going to be covering this week. Everything that I went through in that 5 weeks has been my whole life for the last 17 years, almost 18 years. Father Smith asked me, he said, Charlie, how many gods are there? I said, one. He said, do you believe that he's the Father? You believe in one God, the Father? I said, yeah. Well, do you believe that he is truly the Father? Do you believe that he's the Father of all people? Do you believe that there's nobody on this earth that's ever come into this world apart from God? God is the one that chooses and is sent. God is the one that chose your neighbor and sent him. God is his Father. That makes him your brother if God is your Father. Your brother. I said, maybe I don't hate him. Your mind, folks, is a filthy sieve, and it will, I promise you, in this school this week, you will sit here and think words faster than Father or I or the other teachers are speaking to you trying to get around this thing. You will come up with all kinds of ways to skirt the issue. You will justify your position. And folks, the only reason I know that is because I'm a champ at it. You're looking at the world champion of skirting God, figuring out ways to get around Him. And I said, in my mind, I'm thinking I am caught. Because I didn't have enough sense. You know, I don't know nothing about Scripture, and I had total, complete trust in Father Smith. And he said that this is murder, and if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. And I just accepted it. And folks, it still holds true today. And I said, maybe I just don't care for him. Hello? Are y'all here? Now, I bet you, just to give you an idea of what I'm talking about this afternoon, I'm going to ask this question. I would like you to be as honest as you can with me. How many of you here got somebody you don't care for? Be honest. Well, y'all come to the right place. And I hope by the end of this week, will pull that honey right out of you. You don't care for somebody? Now, just think about this. Does God care for them? You're kidding. And you don't. That puts you in a heck of a situation right now with God. You got somebody you don't care for, and God loves them with all of His mind, all of His heart, all of His soul, all of His strength, all of His being, all of His awesome power has created them, and then went to the cross and died for them, and you don't care for them. And I figured I'd just skirted God. Don't care for Him. Don't want to ever see Him again. Don't want to speak to Him. Don't want Him in my house. I don't want to ever get close to Him again. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We're experiencing a lot of that today, aren't we, in your homes? You got son-in-laws, daughter-in-laws. You got husbands and wives. Just don't want to see Him. Get Him out of my sight. Because you don't know who He is, or you don't know who she is. We don't know Jesus, because I can promise you, when you come face to face with God and the Holy Spirit begins to minister to your heart, you will fall in love with everybody. Amen. Father Smith said, Charlie, as he went over and picked up a dictionary and looked up the word hate, he said, read me the definition of hate. And I looked at it, and one of them was not to care for. You know, when Father stood up here and talked about the people that are starving to death, you know, we don't care. I know that may seem a real hard thing, but folks, I want to tell you, if we really cared, they wouldn't be starving. If we really cared about evangelization, folks, you wouldn't leave nothing unturned. If we were really concerned about salvation, and our Pope tells us that's to be our only concern, if we were really concerned we wouldn't be able to get them in here. Or in a tent that I had a dream about out in the parking lot out here with 4,000 people under it. I believe we care. Amen. And if we don't care, I think we have that wonderful free will to choose and change our mind. We can choose to care and then force ourselves and begin to work to care. You may not care right now, but if you begin to do certain things, I promise you, you will work yourself up into caring. That's what formation is all about. It's to form you into caring. To be concerned. To be unselfish. To give of yourself. To die so that God can live in you. That's what it's all about. Most of us aren't willing to die. And I can tell every one of you, you're dying. Some of you look like you're getting ready any day now. This shouldn't be hard for you at all. Oh, not me. I ain't dying. Oh, yes, you are. I don't care how much you strap it up, you move it up, you curl it up, pack it up, move it off, it still dies. Amen. We're out of here. Here today and gone tomorrow. And when you realize that, you can begin to care. Folks, the joy of life is caring. It's concerned. It's concerned for one another. It's concerned for your brother. It's concerned for the person that doesn't eat. It's concerned for the church that needs to be evangelized. It's concerned. And then when that concern motivate your heart and your mind, and you begin to open up, God will use somebody like me. Now, I'm going to tell you what, folks, and I've already heard Father Carapi's testimony. If he can use a guy like that and put him with a pontifical degree, sacred theology, put him tops in every class, have him ordained, I'm going to tell you, God can do anything. I'm going to tell you, that guy was a mess. I'll tell you. And when he said that when you come to confession to him, and you'll all go to confession this week, because we're going to open the Word and let the Word examine your soul. And you'll run. Oh, God, help me. Father Smith said, Charlie, you're a bigger sinner than your neighbor. You know, I never thought about that. That sucker's a bigger sinner than me. If you ever get off into that, you will justify yourself and condemn everybody. You will become a God yourself. I'm the biggest sinner in this room, Father, whether you like it or not. Isn't that what St. Paul said? I'm the biggest of all sinners. Because, you see, I know my sins. You don't. I bet you the biggest sinner I've ever seen. God, if I could, how would you like to have your whole life, every intimate thing that you've ever hidden and done, flashed across this screen tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock? You wouldn't be here. Oh, God, let me out of here. I'm going to go back down. You just wouldn't want to be here. We'd say, that sweet little thing did all that? God. That sweet little angel? And they wouldn't none of you be here either. I'd be gone myself. And see, that's God knows every intimate, every thought, every... I mean, there's nothing you can hide from Him. He knows it. Folks, the greatest... Well, you know what? You know what life is? It's recognizing that He knows it and you surrender it to Him. I know I'm a filthy mess, God. Thank you for what you've done and allowing me the privilege to understand so that I can understand you and have mercy and compassion and forgiveness for you. Father Smith said, Charlie, you need to go. Listen, this will help you. Go ask your neighbor to forgive you for hating him. Go ask your mother to forgive you for hating her. Go ask your daddy to forgive you for hating him. Go ask your son-in-law to forgive you for not caring for him. Go ask your children to fall on your face and beg them to forgive you for not living the life of the Lord Jesus, to set an example for them that's caused all the mess that they're in. They learned their mess from you. And if you can ever admit it, change your mind, God will heal your family. Why do I know that? My family's healed. Now, it didn't happen overnight. One of my daughters, it took 12 years. She's here tonight. She won't miss none of this. I mean, you'll see her everywhere, and she'll be going, amen. I mean, she will wear you out. I mean, she'll go to these places, and you'll say, who in the world is that? She'll be saying, amen, 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 brother, amen, amen. You say, why don't she shut up? She's going, amen, 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 amen. Wear you out. You say, who in the world is that? That's my daughter. It only took her 12 years to get into this. Amen? Amen. Do you know what it is to humble yourself? You got a husband? Go to your husband and fall on your knees. And so, you most wonderful, unique manifestation of God's love and grace, would you please forgive me for not being the wife that you've needed all these years? Would you please give me one more chance? And I promise you from this day forth, I'm going to live Jesus with you. And the days that I goof up, I'm going to ask you to forgive me and I'm going to start all over again. I can promise you that's humility. When I begin to take the blame for everything in my family, because God took all of my blame. He said he took all of my faults, all of my iniquities, all of my sins. And when I begin to take on your sins, your faults, your iniquities, when I begin to have compassion and mercy as God has had compassion and mercy on me, when I begin to extend that to you, God's kingdom is at hand. His glory is at hand. His power is at hand. I extended to my family mercy. And the way I did that, I asked them to forgive me. And I begged my wife. I said, "Sweetheart, if you, I don't even know what I'm getting into. I have no way of knowing how to walk with God. I don't understand nothing. But I promise you this day that I'm going to put every morsel, every tissue, every mind, every thought, everything that I can do today, I make a decision for Jesus. Will you go with me?" You know what she said? She said, "Woohoo! I'll go." My whore's gone again. Where's my water? Get my whore back. My wife says, "I'll go." She's never faltered. Now, I faltered. And every time I falter, you know who picks me up? My wife. She reminds me. You remember back there in the carport when you took my hand and you said, "Sweetheart, I'm going to give all of my mind, my heart, my soul, my thoughts, my morsels, my tissues, my bones, my ever being, all of my energies, everything in me, I'm going to give it to God. I don't know where it'll lead us, but will you go with me?" And she says, "I still want to go. Now pick it up and let's go." See, I made a commitment. And boy, when you start making commitments, they will remind you every day. Don't forget your commitment. We begin to help one another. The most difficult thing I have ever done in my life, the most difficult, was to go and ask my neighbor to forgive me for hating him. I've done a lot of things that were difficult. I have never done anything that difficult. And folks, I will tell you that apart from a spirit of humility, you won't be able to do it. It is the most humbling, the most it's a killer. I walked the floor of my bedroom for 3 weeks, crying, begging God to give me another way. God help me. I can't do this. You know, God, if I go over there and start talking to him about this, I have caused that guy so much pain, he's going to pull out a gun and shoot me, and I will be dead. You know what God said right back to me? "Good! You don't care if he kills me?" He said, "No, you'll be here with me." Are y'all understanding this? Folks, this is what evangelization is. Some of you need to go home and get on your knees to your priest and beg him to forgive you for the scandal that you've created about him. Who are we to judge? We're not to judge, we're to serve. God did not come to judge us and condemn us. He came to serve us, to save us. That's the ministry of an evangelist. That's the ministry of a Christian. We've come to encourage one another, to help one another, to save one another. And if you've got a brother that ain't living right, love him. Be compassionate with him. Forgive him. Persist. Long suffer. And I promise you, the love that God's put in your heart, you will overcome. Love never fails. It endures forever. If you can hang in there. One morning I got up at 4 o'clock. My wife, you know, she's going through hell when I went through all this. I mean, my wife, I think, bless her heart, she'll never go to purgatory. She has got one straight ticket. Federal Express. Holy Ghost packed. I have caused her so much pain.
Me walking the floor. I can't do it. God, I don't know why you would expect me to do something like that. It's his fault. I didn't do nothing. That old filthy mind, see how it works? I would have never done nothing like that. Liar. If you let God talk to you, he'll talk to you like that. You know, Scripture says we've all sinned and we fall short of his glory. He showed us what it is to be humbled. This is God. This is a guy that could have slayed the whole world in a word. But he crawled up on a cross. He humbled himself. Humility is taking blame. Humility is taking fault. Humility is bearing with one. Humility is forgiving. Humility is being patient. Humility is being kind. And folks, we don't want anything else to come out of this school but that. Because in that, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, God will renew his church and will renew the face of this earth, and he'll do it in our generation. If it can come out of you and me in this place right here, if it can just start out of us, if we can take this and begin to use it in our families, in our parishes, with your relatives, humble yourself. God, the reward is great, for you will be sons of God. Amen. I called my neighbor up on the phone 4 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't. I knew I was dying. I knew I was at the point of death. I just knew it. I was hurting so bad. My chest, my head, I was in such pain I can't describe. And physically, there wasn't anything wrong with me. I went over to the phone. I couldn't stand it. It was either do it or die. And I knew that it was either do it or die. I had gotten to that point in my life. And there may be a whole bunch of you in here right now. You are at that point. Thank God you are there. Just make the right decision. Because the reward in coming out of this is so far greater than anything you can imagine. I picked up the phone and I dialed his number. And his wife, the second wife of the marriage, answered the phone. And I called her by the first wife's name. And after I listened to a line of words that are unrepeatable in here, because you may be offended. Now, if I said there was 20 million children starving to death tonight, you would not be offended at all. But if I use a little four-letter word, you would be offended. It's amazing where our spirituality is. We ought to be overwhelmed with the conditions of this world, to the point that we would surrender everything in our lives, that God's kingdom would grow. Folks, I'm convinced we are in, when God begins to raise up Catholic lay people, the times have got to be desperate. I mean, folks, for 17 years, they've been looking at me and they say, who are you? I'm a Catholic lay evangelist. Watch that. I don't know. I'm still discovering it. Go home and tell people you're a Catholic lay evangelist. And watch the reaction. Oh, what? God, what's that? Then you can tell them it's a unique, one of a kind, and original masterpiece. The very glory of God that has been blessed and given life on this earth by his power. Been filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of all the charisms, with the power of God living in me, that I might preach to you. Amen. My neighbor hung up on me. And I said, God, I tried. Trying is lying. You don't try and stop. You go back at it again. It took me almost 2 days to discover that you don't stop trying. You keep on. If you just try and stop, it's not success. Don't come up to me and say, "Oh, Charlie, I'm trying." I'll say, "You're lying." You'll hear a lot about that this week from David Stewart. Well, y'all wait till David gets a hold of you. I'll pick up pieces after he's through. Father will pick up pieces. Wait till Father gets through with you. Where's Leslie? Has she gotten here yet? Stand up, Leslie. You see this little 90-pound weakling over here? She'll burn you up. Where's Jennifer? Jennifer. Little 23-year-old dynamo. Where's... we got 50... And I'm not going to take time to go through them all. There's 52 people here on our staff. And they'll be preaching at you all week. We get them in the classroom. You'll get them in the hall. You'll get them in the kitchen. You'll get them in the line at food. You'll get them at the table. They won't leave. You get them in the bathroom. You'll be sitting on the John. And there'll be somebody there preaching at you. You'll leave here and say, "My God, what was that?" And you'll get away from here and you want to come back so bad you can't stand it. They say, "Surely God is in that place." Amen. The next day I'm driving out of my driveway and here comes my neighbor home. And my neighbor, because of all the horror that I've sent his way, when he passes me, he always turns his head in another direction because I'm always giving him these. And he turned his head as he drove by, and I was so caught up with this idea that hate is murder. You know, Jesus said, if you're angry... we're going to really touch on that. If you are angry, you are in danger of what? Hell, fire. Angry at your kids? Angry with your wife? I mean, folks, I'm convinced you can come to a place where there's no anger. Or God wouldn't say that. Now, I've not gotten there yet, but maybe I still got some time left to get there. I'm praying that I get there. I have made some wonderful, wonderful revelations as God has shown me in certain cases. I don't get mad no more. Some of you here in this school will be checked out this week. You'll go home to your cream house, the cream puff house over here that your girls are in, and your house will have been ransacked. You go to your car and your tires will be missing. Why do you think God stuck it down here in Dope Land, in the poorest section of Pensacola? Y'all come to this school, you're going to get checked out this week. You folks will meet Charlie, my brother. You'll meet Reggie. Is Reggie here? You'll meet Reggie this week. Maybe at 1 o'clock in the morning. He has altar calls at 1 o'clock in the morning. He will check your faith out early in the morning. Now, don't go run off and think you're going to go home. Oh, God, what are they going to do to us? Remember, you're all dying. Hello? But I don't want to die now. Well, if you're not ready to die now, you can't hear what we're going to say this week. Amen? You just won't hear it. But the day you enter into the reality that you're dying, you know you're dying, your flesh is dying, and you accept it, and you give what's left over to God, folks, then the angels come and they begin to minister to you, and you don't care what happens. Amen? Because God's in charge. Do we believe tonight God's in charge? You really? Well, when they come and steal your purse, God's in charge. Going to check you out. Let you practice your faith tonight. Pray for the guy that stole it. I got you. I can see you right now. Look at it. Father, you ought to be up here in front. They're all nervous. You're going, yeah. This guy drives by my driveway. I catch myself out of my car running down the street behind his car. He turns in the driveway, and I'm right in behind his car, and he stops, and he gets out, and he sees me coming towards him. He throws up his hands. He said, "Don't hit me." And I said, "Brother, I haven't come to hit you. I've come to ask you to forgive me." And you know, I don't know what he said. I could not tell you one word that he said, because the overwhelming power of God came on me so strong, I went, oh, glory. I mean, my veins opened up. These old hardening of the arteries, the hypertension, the anxiety, the hurt, the disappointment, all of that stuff left me like a flood. It was like somebody picked up a ton off of my back and threw it. Almost passed out just from the blood that was released to rush to my brain, that healed my brain. My arteries that opened up didn't have to have bypass surgery. God bypassed it for me. And I was at 43, I was at the point of bypass surgery, and the minute I asked to be forgiven, my arteries opened right up. There's something built in, folks. Father will talk about that built-in mechanism. What you sow is what you reap in its instant. It's now. It's not something that's going to happen later. You sow in hate and revenge, that's what you get. And it'll affect your every working organ. Every organ. The Scripture says that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will restore all the years that the locusts ate up. I've been restored. Do y'all know that I am 60 years old? Soon be 61. I feel like I'm 21. I'm working harder now than I did then. And loving it. Excited about it. Amen. Do you know that my neighbor, when I asked him to forgive me, 3 months later, it took a while. Scripture also says that we will heap great coals of fire on their heads. And I used to think that God would burn them up and kill them right there. Boom! What I've discovered, that the fire of the Holy Spirit is a gentle, convicting fire. And when we operate in the power of God's Word and we be reconciled to one another, go and reconcile yourself, that gentle Holy Spirit is released in the hardest of hearts, in the most diverse, horrible heart that's ever lived. Holy Spirit begins to trickle down through his head and his mind and his heart. 3 months later, he walked up to my wife in the local grocery market and he said, "Miss Jean, I've given my life to Jesus." He said, "I've been restored to the church. I just went to confession and I was allowed to come back to the Eucharist." 3 weeks later, he dropped dead. But you know, I feel good about it because I'm right behind him and I'm going to get to see him. I am not going to resent him being where I'm going. Folks, I am convinced today if we resent anybody that we're going to find there, we won't stay there long. We will be out of there. We got to leave here with love in our heart. Not for one, but for all. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care how horrible the situation. There can be nothing no horrible than that. And as they were nailing him to the tree, he said, "Father, for what? Forgive." You'll hear a lot about that this week. Now, I've never started a school off like this. And you know, just maybe it's enough. If some of you have already wondered why you're here. And maybe even thinking about going home. But maybe after tonight you'll stick. Because there's more.
There's more. There's always more. Even now and forever, God will be revealing Himself forevermore. More. More. There is never an end to God and the revelation of God that'll come to you. And this week, we're going to help you allow the revelation of God to come through, probably in a way that you've never heard it before. Not saying that you haven't heard, but we will present things to you this week that will challenge your faith. Please don't say no. Please don't back off and let your mind skirt the issue. Please just say, yes, God, I don't understand this, God, but I'm willing. If you can teach me, God, let it become revelation to me, God. And God will let it become real in His time. My neighbor tonight, I know, and I want to believe with everything that is in me, has already made it to heaven. I think about this guy all the time, so you know he's getting a lot of my prayer, don't you? A lot of my prayer. A lot of my time. There's many people in my life over the last 17 years that have done great harm to me, and they're no longer alive. I spend much time in prayer for them because they're my brother. And it's one of the things that I've learned about purgatory. Please, if you have a problem with purgatory, you've got a problem with the church. If you have a problem with the church, you've got a problem with God. If you've got a problem with God, your problem is serious. Purgatory is a place of mercy. It's not a place to where you go and suffer. It's a place, I am praying every day, that there is a place of mercy for those that check out not understanding mercy. We'll talk a lot about that this week. Lord Jesus, help us as we enter into this reality, as we force ourselves to accept Your Word, as we labor and do violence to ourselves, trying to enter into these realities, O God, help us tonight. Allow Your Holy Spirit, Father God, to cleanse my mind and my heart that I may be able to hear, O God. Establish in me tonight Your mercy, Your grace, Your compassion, that I might understand compassion and grace and mercy for others. Oh God, tonight, allow me the privilege to be effective in evangelization, to bring people into Your kingdom. Oh God, help me tonight in this moment, Father, that You would be glorified. In Jesus' holy name we pray, and everyone said,
Amen.
Give it to me again.
Amen.
One more time. Bless us, O Lord, and these are gifts that we are about to receive from Your bounty, from Your goodness, from Your mercy. Father, all the things that You have done that are good, and we receive them, and we share them by faith in Jesus' holy name. And everyone said,
Amen.